To start our services today with an uplifting song and an excellently worded prayer. Appreciate that so very much. I want us to spend some time before we go to our classes. I want us to spend some time talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And specifically, I want to talk about how we are to produce or develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We're familiar, I believe many of us are, with the text in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There's the fruit of the Spirit. We know that we are to produce that in our lives. But the question is, how? How do we produce that in our lives? Christians don't live in a protective bubble, shielded from all the spiritual dangers and temptations that exist. We have to choose very wisely, very carefully, those things that we allow to influence us as we strive to serve the Lord in our lives. And there are, in fact, two contrasting forces that are vying for our attention and vying to influence us. And Paul talks about that in the text here in Galatians 5. You know, we can go to verses 22 and 23, look at the fruit of the Spirit, but looking at the context of this passage, the Apostle Paul in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if we are led by the Spirit, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Then verses 19 through 21, there's the works of the flesh. 22 through 23, the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we have these two influencing forces in our lives today. We have the Spirit or we have the flesh. And of course, we are to choose the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is laid out for us in verses 22 through 23. Our young people have gotten very good at singing these qualities. We've studied them numerous times. We're familiar with them. We're not going to do a study of the fruit of the Spirit. I want us to consider how it is that we are expected to develop these qualities in our lives today. How do we develop the fruit of the Spirit? And I would pause here and I would give you a reminder that it's not called the fruits of the Spirit. That is, that they're all available, and you go through and you pick out the ones that you like, and you make your own personal fruit salad. Okay, I want some love, and I want peace, and I want kindness, and that's good enough. No, if we are walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, abiding in the Spirit, all of these qualities together will show in our lives. Together, they are the fruit of the Spirit. Well, how do we develop that in our lives? Things grow naturally, right? Plants, they grow naturally, but they don't grow automatically. Conditions have to be right. There have to be favorable conditions in order for our garden to grow, in order for the flowers we put out in our flower bed to grow and to bloom, in order for fruit trees to mature and to produce fruit. There have to be some favorable circumstances. Soil conditions have to be just right. We have to be in the right climate. I don't see a lot of people here in Ohio growing orange trees and lemon trees and banana trees. No, that belongs in a different climate. And we have to make sure that the plants are free from disease and free from damage and things that can harm them. We understand all these variables exist when we're planting a garden or when we're growing a tree. Well, let's take the same approach to developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. What are some of these favorable growing conditions that you and I need to work on to make sure that we are developing the fruit of the Spirit in our life, to make sure that we are developing these qualities in our lives. Four things I want to look at this morning before we go to our Bible classes. Four things that are going to help us to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Number one, we need to make sure that we are allowing God's Word to change our heart. Remember in the parable of the sower, remember the soil represents the heart. And Jesus gives us four possibilities, right? Four different kinds of soil: the wayside soil, the shallow, the crowded, and the good soil. And we learn that that represents different kinds of hearts. Well, we can change our heart if we want to. We can put forth the effort to change from a hard heart or a shallow heart or a crowded heart to a good heart, but it's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort. In James chapter 1, in verse 21, James is talking about receiving God's word, which is very much what the parable of the sower is about. But he says, James 1 verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. If you're going to make a garden spot out of an unused piece of land, first thing you got to do is clear it off. You got to get some things out of there. And the same thing is true with our hearts. If God's word is going to find a home in our hearts, and if our hearts are going to be responsive in a positive way to God's word, we are going to have to clear some things out. We're going to have to repent of sin in our lives. See, lay aside filthiness, overflow wickedness. We're going to have to lay that aside. We're going to have to turn away from that. We're going to have to set aside our old way of thinking. Perhaps we were raised up outside the church, and we were taught morals and values and attitudes about the Bible that simply aren't correct. We're going to have to lay that aside. Otherwise, we're going to be reading the scripture through that filter, and it's not going to work. So we're going to have to lay that aside. Maybe it's bad habits we have in our lives. We're going to have to get rid of those habits. We're going to have to get those out of our lives. How is this done? How is this done? How is it that you and I allow God's word to change our hearts? Well, there's a well-known passage in Romans chapter 12 and at verse 2. Romans 12 verse 1 tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind has to be renewed. Maybe to use an accommodative phrase that's a little more recent than 2,000 years ago, reprogrammed. We're going to have to change the way that we think. And we're going to have to allow God's word to do that for us. The time that we spend reading and studying God's word, our mind is being renewed. Paul uses the same statement in Ephesians 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm convinced that if you and I will spend any amount of time with our Lord, He is going to challenge the way that we think. The reason I say this is because as you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many people do we read of encountering Jesus and before long He has them thinking? He has challenged the way that they think. He's challenged the way that they believe. As you're reading through the Sermon on the Mount, there are six times in chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, that Jesus says, you've heard it said, but I say to you. And in every one of those passages, He's challenging the way that people think about these different things. We have to think differently. If when we spend time with Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when we spend time studying His word, giving through His apostles, our minds are going to be renewed. And it's not until our minds are renewed that we are going to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So we've got to cooperate with God's word, and we've got to allow God's word to change our hearts. If our natural reaction to provocation is to retaliate, then we've got to allow God's word to teach us to be a peacemaker, because the fruit of the Spirit is peace. If our natural reaction is to give up on people that frustrate us, we're going to have to allow God's word to develop long-suffering in our hearts and lives. If we're inclined to put ourselves down and see the dark side of everything, we're going to have to develop joy in our lives. If we're inclined to ignore others, we're going to have to develop kindness and goodness and agape love. You see, we have to allow God's word to change our hearts. Only then are we going to develop and produce the fruit of the Spirit. Here's something else. We could come back to our text in Galatians chapter 5. If we're going to develop the fruit of the Spirit, we have to be filled with the Spirit. Look at the admonitions that are given in Galatians 5. Verse 16 says to walk in the Spirit. Verse 18 says to be led by the Spirit. And verse 25 says that we are to live in the Spirit. What does this mean? I mean, these are verses. This is scriptural. This is biblical. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Does that mean that we come down to the pew and we pray for the Holy Spirit to fall on us? Are we passive in this? No, we're not passive. We're active. The way we are led by the Spirit, or we walk in the Spirit, or we live in the Spirit, is to be filled with the Word of God. This is made so very clear by comparing two sister passages. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, and its sister passage, Colossians 3, verse 16. Many of us are familiar with these verses as we study instrumental music in worship, or we study singing. But I want you to know, so as we look at these verses, we see that they are companion verses, but I've highlighted the difference in these verses. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, and do not be drunk with wine. We're going to talk about that in our 11 o'clock hour today. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. There's that phrase, right? We saw that in Galatians. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now look at the Colossian passage. It talks about teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. But notice, in the place of being filled with the Spirit, we're told simply, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That tells us that to be filled with the Spirit means to be filled with the word of God. And as we are filled with the word of God, and as we conform our thinking and our lives to the teaching found in God's word, we're going to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Fruit trees need water and nourishment and sunshine to produce fruit. God's word provides all of this for us as we are producing the fruit of the Spirit. Here's something else. If we are going to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, if we're going to be productive, we have to allow God's pruning. We have to allow for God's pruning. Now, going to John chapter 15, Jesus, as he is walking to the Garden of Gethsemane with his apostles, he gives them this parable or this illustration to emphasize the fellowship that they need to have with him. He's leaving them, but he's teaching that they have to stay connected with him. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Notice in verse 2, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. God wants us to be productive. He wants us to produce the fruit of the Spirit, yes. But he wants us to produce more and more. And so he's going to prune us. Now, I had a summer job one year helping a fellow in Arkansas that had grape vineyards in several different places. And I helped him early in the summer. he and I and some others, we did the work of pruning those vines. And he showed us, very easy, here's what you do. He gave us the clippers. And he said, anytime you see any of these new branches growing out, and they were green, bright green, a different color, he said, cut them off and drop them. And the reason for that is, these were new branches, and if these new branches grew and developed, then all of the nutrients, all of the energy of the vine would be going to developing the new branches instead of making more grapes. And so cut off those branches. Cut off those new growths. Prune them. Well, reality is you and I come to the Lord with a lot of baggage. And we live in a world that vies for our time and our attention. And there are some things that need to be pruned. And if we can do that ourselves, that's great. If we can look honestly at ourselves and realize, I need to get rid of this. I need to quit worrying. I need to give up this hobby. There's nothing sinful about it, but it's just taking too much of my time. If we can do that ourselves, that's great. If not, God's going to prune us. And often what he uses to prune us with is suffering and hardships. And it's through that times of suffering that we focus in on our priorities. And we can see clearly what really matters and thus make those adjustments to our lives. Make those changes to our thinking and our behavior. So if you want to be productive, you want to be more productive, there's going to have to be some pruning going on. And cooperate with that. Go along with that with the Lord. And there's one more thing that I want to include. If we're going to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and we're going to produce it more and more in our lives, we have to be patient. We have to be patient because we're growing fruit, and fruit doesn't grow overnight. Going back to Luke chapter 8, and I say back to Luke chapter 8, going back to the parable of the sower. In Luke's account of the parable of the sower, that the last verse in that, the explanation of that parable, talking about the good ground, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. With patience. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen overnight. And we like to see success like that. We live in a day and an age where we have automatic this and instant that. And I think many of us have learned by experience that the automatic and instant isn't as good as the old way in a lot of things. That's certainly true with farming. Many of us put out our gardens in the spring, which is, it's kind of a strange time of the year to be talking about producing fruit. I realize that. But I didn't want to hang on to this for 6 months and bring it out in March or April or May. But when we plant the seeds or we put out the plants, we don't go out the next day with our basket looking to harvest our vegetables. No, we realize that there's some time. There's some time. It takes some time for that plant to grow and mature, for the blooms to come on, for them to germinate, for the fruit to grow, the vegetables to grow, to ripen. Then we pick them. The farmer makes his living this way. James chapter 5, verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. How is it that you and I can be patient, especially during times of suffering? That's the context of James 5. Look at the farmer. Look at the farmer. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and latter rain. If you're a farmer for a living, that's your livelihood. That's how you feed your family. You've got to be patient. You've got to be patient. It doesn't happen overnight. The same thing is true with growing as a Christian and producing that fruit of maturity as a Christian. We have to be patient because it takes some time. Many of us, a lot of us, are familiar with growing vegetable gardens. We plant in the spring, we harvest through the summer into the fall. It happens that quickly. Not so with fruit trees. It's interesting. If you want to plant a fruit tree, don't expect to get fruit off of it this fall. An apple tree takes anywhere between 2 to 5 years to mature and start bearing fruit. Banana tree, 2 or 3 years. A citrus tree, orange, grapefruit, lemon, lime, 1 or 2 years. Pears, 4 to 6 years. You can get through college quicker than you can get a pear from a pear tree. A sweet cherry, 4 to 7 years. You're almost a doctor, right? Grapes, 3 years. 3 years. So be patient. Be patient as you're waiting on those fruit trees. Quit being so hard on yourself. Be patient as you are growing and developing as a Christian. Be patient. It doesn't happen overnight. Think about the Lord and His apostles. On the night that He was betrayed, when they were in the upper room, what were they having a discussion about? Yes, once again, they were talking about which one of them was going to be the greatest. And the Lord took the towel and went around and washed their feet. Why? Because they hadn't learned it yet. They hadn't learned it yet. And they'd been with Him for 3 years. 3 years. We can read Galatians 5, 22, 23. Okay, yep, ought to get that down. No, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. So don't give up. Keep with it. In the book of Galatians, when we end chapter 5 and go into chapter 6 and verse 9, we find this admonition. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we have to have patience. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. If you lose a battle here or there, you haven't lost the war. Learn from it. Do better next time. Work on that long-suffering. Work on that kindness. Work on that meekness. Work on that faithfulness that you keep your word. Work on that and develop that. God is looking for us to produce fruit to His glory. And that fruit comes in many different forms. The praise that we give God is fruit. When we help to win a soul, that's fruit. But developing our character and becoming more like the image of Christ in our lives, that's fruit. That's fruit that we bear to God's glory. We need to make it a goal to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So let's make sure that our heart has everything that it needs, that there are favorable growing conditions in our heart and in our life so that we can allow the implanted word to do what it does. Things grow naturally, but they don't grow automatically. Let's make sure our heart is a place where God's word can grow. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for your patience. We're thankful that we can learn through your dealing with your people and through your Son's dealing with the apostles, that we can know that you are patient with us. We pray that you would help us to take your word into our heart and into our lives and to remove from our thinking those things that are contrary to it, to be patient and to give our attention to growing and developing our character so that we become more like your Son instead of remaining like the old people that we were. Bless us as we strive to grow and develop and produce fruit to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.